You're glad he did. Come on, let's give him praise this morning. Today is the single most significant day in Christian history. Today is the single most significant day in the world's history. Everything we believe hinges upon that which we celebrate today, and that is the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you what happened there, beginning in John chapter 19, verse 1. If you'd like to follow along, it says this: Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. Hail, King of the Jews, they mocked as they slapped him across the face. Pilate went outside again and said to the people, I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find no fault in him. I find him not guilty. Verse 16 says, Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. Somebody say crucified. So they took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. He went to the place called Place of the Skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign over him that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, three different languages, so that many people could read it. Verse 30. When Jesus had tasted of that sour wine, he said, It is finished. And then he bowed his head and he released his spirit. Verse 31 says, It was the preparation day, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was the Passover. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken, then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. Matthew's gospel in chapter 28, verse 1 records this. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, what is the first day of the week? It's Sunday. What's today? Sunday. As the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Verse 5 says, But the angel answered and said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see where the Lord lay, past tense, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear, and I like this, great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. I came to bring somebody word today that Jesus is not dead, but death is. He is alive and he's risen. Can you say amen? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, over the next few moments, I'm asking that you would speak very specifically into every single heart and life. I'm asking that these words would release your spirit and your life. And if there be anyone here today that has never known how incredible it is to walk with you and know you personally through your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, we pray that before we leave this morning, they would have the privilege and opportunity and make that choice to make Jesus Lord of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the beautiful cross. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, the beautiful cross. Now look at the neighbor you just rejected and tell them it's beautiful for you too. The beautiful cross. Now, there is an irony to that statement, because you must understand this morning that the cross was a method of execution that was designed and used by the Romans. The same ingenuity and engineering genius that the Romans used to build bridges, construct roads, and build aqueducts to bring in fresh water and out sewage water was the same ingenuity and engineering genius that was used to methodically inflict unthinkable pain upon victims who were sentenced for their crimes to these punishments. The cross was an instrument of torture. The cross was gory. The cross was grotesque. The cross was a place of punishment. The cross was ugly, but the cross was an open display of what happens to people who are disobedient. Now understand this morning that the purpose of the cross was for the Roman government to make a statement so grim and so gruesome that it would strike fear in the hearts of every person who would see it as they came into town, causing them to live in submission. The crucifix was literally like a billboard declaring the power of the Roman Empire. And the Bible says they took our Jesus, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the life of our lives, they took him and they crucified him. They took two wooden beams and they crossed them. They stretched out his arms and they drove the spikes through his hands and they drove the spikes through his feet, and they literally tacked Jesus to a cross and hung it up and stood it up so that everyone around him could see it. You got to understand today that there was a massive loss of blood that would take place at the cross. It was nothing beautiful to look on. As a matter of fact, it was something that would repulse you, that you would have to turn away from. It's not something you would want to fixate on. Understand that the picture grows even more severe whenever we understand that the Bible says that Pilate had him scourged or whipped with a Roman cat of nine tails, that leather whip that was not one strand but many, containing glass beads and stone and leather and bone and also metal razors at the end. And so when they would whip Jesus with that, or any person, as it came across their back, it would literally shred their flesh until it hung like ribbons down around his waist, exposing his ribs, exposing his organs, exposing his life and the blood that would flow out of him. They would do that 39 times, and many people couldn't even survive it. But then on top of that, they took Jesus and he had to carry his cross, and then he would be crucified. And so I want to ask the question this morning, how could anybody ever call such a gruesome and bloody mess beautiful? And here's the answer to that. It's because at the cross, the price was paid for the awful sins that we had committed. The price that our sin had demanded was satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says it like this. It says, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. I want you to see that and read that last line with me. Ready? Read. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We needed to be forgiven of our sins and have our sin removed. After all, sin was what had separated us from the presence and from the power and from the perfection and the provision of God. But the cross also gives us a place and a picture of God's redeeming power, because there he took one of history's greatest atrocities, a crucifixion, and there he turned it into humanity's greatest hope, and that is the cross of Christ. At the cross, we see God's relentless love for a rebellious man. He said in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is not bent on damnation. He is set on salvation. Thank God for that today. Jesus came to break the curse of sin and lift our lives to new heights. How could you call the cross beautiful? Simply because as we look at it, the cross was the place where God said, I will not leave you on earth without me, and I will not remain in heaven without you. I will come and do for you what you could never do for me, and I will meet you at this intersection called the cross. It was there that Jesus went to die so that you and I could live. He had come to reverse the curse of sin that had entered the earth in the Garden of Eden. And step by step in the process of crucifixion, he was methodically doing that. I want you to think about the crown of thorns that he wore. It was necessary, JD, that thorns would be represented there that day, because when Adam and Eve had rebelled against God and sinned in the Garden of Eden, that was a part of the curse in Genesis 3:18, that thorns would overtake the earth. And so there, Jesus is reversing the curse by taking the thorns upon himself. It was at a tree that man fell when he chose to rebel. And it was at a tree that a man by the name of Jesus Christ would redeem humanity. Understand that Jesus didn't die with the dignity of a loincloth, as so many pictures depict, but he died naked, which I find so fitting, because Adam and Eve, the first indicator that they knew they had sinned against God, when God came and said, "Where are you?" they said, "We hid because we were naked." And Jesus carried the shame of our nakedness. Jesus was exposed so that we could be covered. The first place he shed his blood, though, wasn't at the cross. It was in a garden. I find that fitting, because it was in a garden that man would fall away from God. And it was in a garden that redemption would begin for mankind. It was in a garden where he shed his blood, as his sweat became as great drops of blood, as he was praying and wrestling with the agony of going to this horrible, terrifying event called the cross. And it was there that he overcame his own will, as he said, "Father, not what I want, but you want. I surrender to your will." And Jesus shed his blood there to redeem our will. He shed his blood so that we could make the right choices. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 declares this. It says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God." It is the very power of God. The message of the cross is the power of God. The cross of Christ, understand today, was not a display of weakness, but it was a demonstration of the power of God. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 reads like this. "Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split apart, and tombs opened up." That's the power of the cross. "The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead, and they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people." Verse 54. "The Roman officer and the other soldier at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, 'This man truly was the Son of God.'" That is the power of the cross. That when the blood of Jesus Christ was released from his sinless body, that every drop that hit the ground had that thunderous echo inside of it that was releasing a shockwave into earth that shook the earth. Understand this morning that Jesus, my Jesus, your Jesus, the Jesus that we read about today, was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but he was crucified on a cross between two thieves. He was crucified beside the town garbage dump. He was crucified on a hill called Golgotha because it was shaped like a skull. He was crucified at a crossroads that was so cosmopolitan they had to write his name in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. It was the kind of place where cynics talked smut, thieves cursed, and soldiers gambled. But this is where Jesus died. And more importantly, this declares who he died for. He died for the outcast of society. He died for those who were counted and considered unclean and unworthy and undeserving. He spent his time while alive on this earth hanging out with thieves and tax collectors and sinners and drunkards and prostitutes. He said he came to seek and save that which was lost. He came for the poor and not for the wealthy. He came for you and he came for me. He came to save us. Hallelujah. First Timothy 1:15 declares, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all." The Apostle Paul knew the beauty of the cross. He knew that because of the cross, his life could be redeemed. And he came to the cross, and his life was transformed. I remember 15 years ago today, I wasn't in the condition you see me now. I spent that Easter in 1999 hungover from being out and partying all night. A few short weeks later, I would walk into a church on a Wednesday night, and there I would find Jesus at the cross of Calvary. I walked in an addict. I walked in an alcoholic. I walked in bound and broken. I had hit rock bottom. I had become everything I hated and done the things I said I would never do. I didn't want to live the life I was living, but I had sank so far into sin that I couldn't see a way out anymore. Everything I was using to medicate my pain was only causing the disease to grow. I love what the angel said to the women whenever he finds them. He says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" You know, that was the story of all of our lives before Jesus Christ. We looked for the living in everything that was dead, searching to find something to satisfy the longing of our souls. I had nothing to offer. I had nothing to give. And yet my Savior saw something in me that was worth saving. He saw something he was willing to exchange his life for. And on that night, I ran to the cross, and there I found a Jesus who still has his arms open wide. And I fell in love with a God who never stopped loving me. He said, but God demonstrates, he shows openly his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And on that night, Jesus loved me right where he found me. I threw up my arms and I said, God, if you'll have me, I want to come home. And that night I was embraced by the loving arms of a living God. I wasn't made better. I was made brand new. I was made new from the inside out. God transformed my life. I didn't just receive a new heart. I received a life transplant. But here's what I want to say to you today. He loved me while I was still sinful. He loved me while I was still dirty. He loved me while I was still undeserving, because he didn't love me for what I could do for him. He loved me because of what Jesus did for us. He loves you even when there's still beer in the fridge, and when you can't pass the drug test yet, and before you can get out of that wrong relationship. He's not afraid to be touched by us. Thank God he's not in a crystal cathedral in a glass case, but he knew that one touch from him was all it would take to turn our lives around. And like the Good Samaritan, he had compassion on me right where he found me. But hear me today, because there is power in this cross. He loved me right where he found me, but that same compassion refused to leave me the way he found me. I walked in broken, but I walked out whole. I walked in full of shame, but I walked out with my head lifted high. I walked in loaded down with guilt, but I left that night lighter than a bird. I walked in destitute, but I left a man full of destiny. I walked in defeated, but I left victorious, no longer coping, but more than a conqueror through the blood of Jesus Christ. I didn't live a better version of the old me. I left brand new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. This is the power of the cross. This is the beauty of the cross. The gospel is still good news for you and me. Amen. Understand, here's why the cross is beautiful. The cross is beautiful because at the cross, he became cursed so that we could be blessed. Understand today that according to the word of God in Deuteronomy, that to die hung on a tree was the absolute worst way any Jew could die. It was the worst conceivable thing that could happen to them, because the word of God declares that such a person is cursed and unredeemable. The power of the cross has enough redemption to break every bondage sin has ever placed upon our lives. It was there that he became cursed so that you and I could be blessed. You have not sinned beyond the grip of his grace. Today, his grace is sufficient for you. The cross is beautiful because at the cross, he took my sin so that I could have his righteousness. He took the very thing that had separated me from God. He took that upon himself so that I could have his right standing with the Father. The Bible says there at the cross, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the beauty of the cross. At the cross, he was broken so that we could be whole. I don't know about you, but I remember the brokenness in my life and just how shattered I was when I came to the cross and met Jesus. But the Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we can be made whole. Sickness was a part of the curse that had come from sin, but the cross has the power to break that curse and not just heal your body, but heal your mind and heal your emotions and heal your spirit and make you a new person that has nothing missing and nothing broken. That is the power and the beauty of the cross. The cross is a place of beauty because at the cross he became poor so that we could become rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 declares, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you could be made rich." At the cross he became poor. But when we come to the cross, we become very wealthy. Rich in love, rich in grace, rich in provision, rich in protection, rich in his mercy, rich in everything that his blood has purchased and provided for us. Poverty was a part of the curse of sin, but at the cross, poverty is broken by the power of the blood of Jesus. Can you say thank God for that today? At the cross, he was rejected so that you and I could be accepted. If you've ever felt rejection and you know the agony of that, then you know that Jesus went through that at the cross for you. Not only was he rejected so that we could be accepted, but he was rejected so that we could be adopted. Not just adopted as second-rate members of the family of God, as some distant cousin, but adopted as blood relatives with full rights and privileges. Romans 8:15 declares, "For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy." It's because of the cross and the resurrection that we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. The cross is beautiful because at the cross he died so that you and I could live. He said in John chapter 5 verse 24, he said, "I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins." That ought to make you smile this morning. They will never be condemned to their sins. Your sins are not in your future. Amen? You've been forgiven. The blood of Jesus has not covered them. It's kicked them out of your life. You will not pay the price or be condemned for their sins. But they have already passed from death into life. The cross was a place of agony, but for you and me, it's a place of beauty because it was there that there was a great exchange today. It was there that we passed from death into life. And because of the cross, eternity begins today for you and I. Understand that without the resurrection, the cross is a tragedy. Without the resurrection, Jesus' death is ordinary. If there were only a cross, sin would win. But 3 days after Jesus died, as the sun broke over the horizon that Sunday morning, there was something that began to happen as the earth began to tremor and the ground began to shake. The guards fell like dead men, and it was there on the inside of an ordinary tomb that there was an explosion of extraordinary power as the Spirit of God raised the lifeless body of Jesus Christ from the dead. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought by the precious blood of the one and only Son of God and Savior of man, hero of heaven and hope of humanity. His name is Jesus Christ. This is the message today that God has for us. This place of agony is filled with such irony because today we call this terror something of beauty. That is the power of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the cross remains ugly. Without the resurrection, the cross remains a tragedy. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. On Friday, that cross was a place of defeat. But because of the resurrection, it has become the world's greatest symbol of victory. On Friday, it was a place of law and order, of crime and punishment, of judgment and of justice, but it has become a place of mercy and grace. On Friday, the cross was a place where life ended, but for you and I, it has become the place where true life begins. Here's what you must understand, that there were 3 days between the time he died and the time he rose again. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that he has the power to make everything beautiful in its time. 3 days after this tragedy, Jesus Christ would rise in triumph, making it a thing of glory, making it a place of splendor, making it a place of incredible exchange for you and me. The cross was the end of the line. The cross was a place of death and defeat and destruction and isolation and desolation, but it has become the universal emblem of hope and help and healing. And the single greatest relief and rescue agency in the world is called the Red Cross. And all over the world, when prisoners of war or those who have been stricken by pain or poverty or peril see that cross, they know that help is here. They know that help is on the way. I come by this morning to tell somebody that there's still a cross that's red and it's never lost the power to redeem and restore our lives. And God can take the most ugly and awful events of our lives and turn those tragedies into triumphs. I wouldn't trade the pain of my past for anything, because it was there that the grace of God was on its greatest display. And if God has enough power to redeem a Roman instrument of torment and torture and turn it into something of beauty, then let me tell you, there's power in the cross of Jesus Christ to raise your life from every tragedy, every disappointment, every failure, every defeat. There is power in the resurrection to rise above the wounds of your past. There is power in the resurrection to rise above your abuse and forgive your abusers. Jesus was nobody's victim, and I come to tell you that you don't have to be either. Look into the eyes of your accusers. Look into the eyes of your abusers, and just like Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Your life doesn't have to be defined by the pain of your past. This is the power of the cross. The resurrection has the power to make everything. It's beautiful. It's just a matter of time. And today is time for you. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I just wonder, is there anybody in the house today who loves Jesus Christ? Come on, if you love him this morning, get on your feet and give him the ovation of this day. You let him know that you're thankful for the blood, thankful for the cross, thankful for the resurrection. Hear me this morning. God's best belongs to you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Whether you realize it or not, whether you're living in it or not, whether you know it or not, God's best belongs to you right now. Jesus said, I came that you could have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. There are some of you here today and you're tired of allowing the devil and being stolen from and destroyed and devoured. And you feel like Satan has just been killing your life. But Jesus said those who come to me would have life and have it more abundantly. Living for Jesus is about so much more. This is where we miss it in church. Living for Jesus is about so much more than getting ready for the last day of your life. It's about making the most of every single day of your life. He who has the Son has life. Eternity begins today. Today is the day of salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed across this room, without a doubt, there are those of you here today that walked into this place similar to my situation whenever I walked in 15 years ago. And I want you to know that there is a God here today that loves you no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done or who you've done it with. He loves you today. You are not far from him. He is as close as the whisper of his name. You don't have to come to church for a long time before you can be saved. You can be saved today. Maybe you're here this morning and you walked with God at one time, but you've let things creep in and crowd him out. You say, Josh, I'm living away from God, but today I want to come home. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. And without any thought of who's around you, I want you to shoot it up and say, Josh, that's me. I want to know who I'm praying for this morning. Just wave at me where I can see you. Josh, today I want the cross. Today I want to come to the cross. Today I want my life to be raised from that deadness. 1, 2, 3. Josh, that's me. I thank you there. I see you. I thank you there. I see you. Is there someone else this morning? I thank you there. I see you. Just keep your hand up and wave at me. I see you there. I see you there. Is there another one here this morning?